And welcome back to today's Topical Currents, Bonnie Berman and Joseph Cooper.
Let's go cleaning up this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. Yeah. Excellent. Well, here's a quote from Dave Barry about today's food and dining topic.
Uh-oh.
Well, we know it's going to be funny.
Yes, go ahead.
Your hand and your mouth agreed many years ago that as far as chocolate is concerned, there's no need to involve your brain. So with us now is chef, author, syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. Linda, over the years, we've heard plenty about your fanatic love of desserts, and especially the rich chocolatey ones.
There's an adjective there. I was worried about this.
Fanatically?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're not taking it out.
I don't think you can at the moment.
No.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Diving into a piece of chocolate cake, and the best part's licking the frosting. What do you think about that?
Sounds good.
Or how about biting into a rich chocolate fudgy brownie? That's fanatic. Okay. So.
Or just fudge.
All right.
Or your chocolate mousse.
Okay. All of the above. Well, as one of my friends told me, it's not a coincidence that chocolate and gold are sold in bars. So, chocolate fans, this is your weekend. Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden is having their chocolate festival, and here to tell us more about it is Richard Campbell. He's the horticultural director at Fairchild. Let's welcome Richard Campbell. Hello, Richard.
Hello. How are you all doing?
We're fine. He's joining us by phone because he's so busy at the garden getting ready.
He's busier than Willy Wonka.
I'm eating chocolate, really. So yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Richard, it's strange not to see you with a knife cutting a mango.
I know. Well, you know, it's just trust me, I still have the knife, but I just use it to cut up chocolate bars now.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, also with us is Chef Alan Susser. He's going to give us some secrets about choosing, tasting, and cooking with chocolate. And he's also going to be giving a cooking demonstration at the festival. So let's welcome Chef Alan Susser.
Well, thank you. A pleasure to be here with you.
It's our pleasure. We've got chocolate right here in the studio.
It's the best place to be.
And you can almost cut it.
Next to the chocolate.
Absolutely. Well, of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any chocolate questions for our guests? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Radio@WLRN.org is the email.
Right. And of course with us is Fred Tasker, the wine columnist, our friend Fred. He's joining us by Skype. And you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns in the Miami Herald. And you can also read his wine column in the Saturday Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking?
Well, what do you think? Wine with chocolate? Is that a possibility? We'll have to talk about it.
I'll bet it is with you. Okay. So I'm drooling. I'm drinking chocolate while we're talking. Chocolate Festival this weekend, January 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Tell us a little bit about what's happening there.
Well, what we're going to have for that is, I mean, it's just what we've been talking about. It's everything chocolate. We are very much this year really excited because we're delving into the world of chocolate growers, dealing with the worldwide crisis that is chocolate. And
well, I have to stop you right there. Mm-hmm. You're going to make everybody upset. What do you mean by a worldwide crisis with chocolate?
Well, it's why everybody has to come to Chocolate Festival, because you know we are facing a worldwide shortage of chocolate that it's on the way. Everyone is working very hard to head it off and to make it less severe.
What's causing it?
There are a complex of diseases out there in the cacao world that has caused all of the countries that used to be net exporters of chocolate are now net importers of chocolate. So everyone competes, leaving only Africa as the main continent that still is free of these diseases. And so what we have to do is basically solve the biological problem of these diseases before we cause chocolate to real shortages to occur.
So do we have to start hoarding chocolate now? Am I going to have to go straight to the store?
I'm just thinking, you know, if we talk about it, I figure, you know, Linda, that you're probably getting very upset and you're thinking about, you know, going and buying up all the chocolate and putting it in the safe somewhere. But it's not that bad. I mean, this is one of the real exciting things. Here in Miami, we have the scientists and the technology and the genetic resources in order to answer the question. It's just going to take really good horticultural scientific work in order to resolve these things. So we'll do it. I mean, it'll happen. We'll fix it. But it really is a serious problem, and there's a lot of very big companies putting money into this. And,
well, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Chef Allen's sitting here and he's nodding his head yes, because Chef, you have a chocolate farmer. You work with a chocolate farmer.
I do, in St. Lucia. St. Lucia, chocolate grows throughout the tropics, and in the Caribbean, St. Lucia, I work with a farm, Jade Mountain, and the farm is actually called Emerald Estate. And we have about 1,000 cacao trees there. And from the cacao tree is where it's the fruit of that tree that we make chocolate from. Mm-hmm. And Richard is right. We do see that happening. But on the brighter side, making chocolate is a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, because you're getting these big, huge pods of wonderful seeds and beans, and you dry, you harvest it and then ferment it. And fermenting the chocolate, after that, you dry it. It dries into a wonderful dark bean. And then this dark bean gets roasted, and that's when you start to smell that real rich, cocoa-y, chocolatey sort of flavor to it, though it has no sugar yet. After what you do is you crack it and throw the shell away. It's called winnowing.
And then you've got some here.
I do. I have some that I actually brought in from St. Lucia. And you can smell the beautiful aromatics of how sweet that smells, or chocolatey.
It does.
Then you crack it and grind it, and you grind it with sugar. And so in that grinding process, you're actually grinding it almost for about 36 or more hours.
Oh.
Just to...
They look like pecans.
Yeah. Well, you can crack that open. That's soft enough because it's roasted. You can crack it open. You have what we call a chocolate nib, which is the cocoa and the cocoa butter all in the same place.
Have
Richard, what is chocolate horticulturally?
It's Theobroma cacao. It is, as Chef Allen was saying, it's native to the Amazon basin. And it is on a small tree, fruit in pods.
So it is a fruit.
Yeah, it's a fruit, and then we're just eating the seeds of that fruit, and you can actually the flesh was what we as kids we would suck on it. It's just a sweet gelatinous flesh around those seeds. We didn't have the technology nor the patience to try to grind anything for 36 hours, you know, when I was a...
But that flesh is delicious, Richard.
Very good.
And,
yeah.
and Bonnie, by the way, is if you hear the cracking sound, she's cracking the nibs right
one
now.
Open. So and is there anything in this you can...
Yeah, you can... chocolate nibs, which is kind of like the nutty part, if you take that out, that's what is that chocolatey flavor, which... Again, I'm part of my demonstration this weekend. I'm going to be using those nibs in a chocolate pancake, an exotic chocolate pancake with a chocolate nibs. But also taking that is what I made the chocolate tea that we're tasting
right now.
Right,
so let's talk about that for a minute, because first of all, if you go to the Fairchild Gardens this weekend for their chocolate festival, you can learn all about chocolate. You can take a chocolate walk and all of that. And then there's going to be several cooking demonstrations. But Chef Allen, when are you going to be there demonstrating?
I'm going to demonstrate on Sunday afternoon, about 1 o'clock.
And we said this chocolate here. So we've been drinking this chocolate. Before we get to the chocolate pancakes, which I want to know all about, tell me what I'm drinking here.
It's got some kick to it.
Okay. So the chocolate tea is really the traditional way that chocolate was consumed here in the Americas before Columbus. It dates back that long. So this chocolate tea that I've made here has the chocolate itself that's ground with a little bit of sugar.
It's
but
very,
it also
very
has
thick and very
cinnamon.
Chocolatey.
Yeah, because it has cinnamon and cloves, a little bit of star anise and bay leaf. So it has some really wonderful, powerful aromatics, as well as the chocolate itself. This chocolate from St. Lucia, from Emerald Estate, is a very aromatic, fruity chocolate. And that's kind of what you want to look for when you're talking about chocolate. It's not just candy. We're not talking about candy here. We're talking about aromatics and flavors and fruitiness and earthiness. And so that in this tea, this chocolate tea, you've got all of these flavors and warming it up. And it is thick because...
It's very thick.
Yeah.
And I could go for a little more sugar in it.
It's, oh, no.
It's pretty puckery.
By the way, cacao is in here. Yeah.
How much cacao? Well, if you see the
what
stick
percentage?
Here.
Well, yeah. I just want to say to everybody that the recipe for this is on my website.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dinnerinminutes.com. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So traditionally, it's you take those nibs and those spices and roll it almost like a Play-Doh into this stick. So that.
So he's got here
like
a stick of chocolate.
It's like a cigar.
It's about like, an inch thick. Yeah. And about 7 or 8 inches long.
So it's a big chocolate cigar without sugar. Exactly. It does not have sugar. It does not have the sweetness. So that you can add as much sugar as you want or as necessary. But chocolate tea traditionally is not a sweet drink, but it's flavorful. It has a little bit of sugar in it. And it's actually consumed throughout the Caribbean, wherever the English were, because it was a tea. So that's how they kind of utilize
it. Before we go to a break, I want to talk about these chocolate pancakes. Tell us about the chocolate pancakes.
Okay, so, you know, pancakes are pancakes, but I'm doing these with a little twist. So I'm using quinoa flour and whole wheat flour as the base of these, and then also taking these chocolate nibs. The chocolate nibs are taking the chocolate directly from the process of making processing the bean. And so you have all the aromatics and the flavors of chocolate without any sweetness. And so that the chocolate nibs, it's not like putting chocolate chips into a chocolate chip pancake. This is chocolate chips where you're getting all the big, powerful aromas and roasted chocolate flavor into these pancakes. And with the quinoa and the whole wheat flour, a little bit of milk
and
egg.
And when you're cooking them, how do you... I know that you can buy some chocolate nibs that have sugar in them. You can buy them in the supermarket. So if we were going to make these pancakes, and you're making, how do you keep the chocolate from sinking to the bottom of the pancake or melting in the pancake before it's finished? Give us the tip here.
Right. Well, again, it's a thicker batter, and in the thick batter, you also have a little bit of milk and egg, and so that it incorporates in. By not putting too much into it, and again stirring your overall batter till you put and make pancakes out of it. So this is kind of like in the style of a Johnny cake.
What do you actually top it with? Yeah.
Then topping with, since I'm serving it with the chocolate tea, I'm actually putting nice crushed 70% chocolate cacao on top of that and some walnuts. If I wasn't going to serve it with the tea, I would actually make a spiced chocolate sauce with the chocolate, with a little bit of cinnamon and cloves and nutmeg.
I hope everybody is drooling while we go to a break now. I'm drooling, I know. So I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guests today are Fairchild Gardens' Richard Campbell and Chef Alan Susser. We're talking chocolate, in case you didn't realize that. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guests today are Fairchild Garden Horticultural Director Richard Campbell and Chef Alan Susser. And they've been telling us about the Chocolate Festival at Fairchild this weekend and giving us a lesson on growing, choosing cooking with chocolate. And we've been enjoying chocolate right here in the studio. But right now, it's Dinner in Minutes time. And it's a little bit chilly this week, so I thought we'd have a really quick and easy soup. It's a pasta and bean soup, better known as pasta e fagioli. And the recipe is for two, but you can increase it for a crowd. It's really, really simple. I use rinsed and canned cannellini beans, some canned tomatoes with their juice, some celery, garlic, and chicken broth, and water. And you just add that to the saucepan, and you bring it to a boil. and just simmer it for about 10 minutes. Then I add some small cut pasta. I use the pasta called Acini di Pepe, which is a soup pasta, but any kind of small pasta will do. In fact, you could even use whatever pasta you've got left over, little bits and pieces in your cupboard there. Then you can just break it into small pieces and put it in the soup. Cook it for 8 minutes, and that's it. A little fresh basil, a little Parmesan cheese, and you're done. Serve it with a salad. And if you wanted to make it a vegetarian dish, you could use vegetable broth instead of chicken broth. Now, and you can also make it in advance, and if you do, then leave out the pasta and add it just 10 minutes before you're going to serve it to cook in the soup. So that recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And you can also find Chef Allen's chocolate, Caribbean chocolate tea. Is that what it's called,
That's
Chef?
That's right.
Caribbean chocolate tea that we've been enjoying here. It's on the website, dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter, at L. Gassenheimer. Okay, Fred, what are we going to drink with our chocolate?
Linda, as you, I'm sure you know, since the new year arrived, I've been urging wine fans to broaden their palates and try new wines. And this is the perfect opportunity for that. So let's look into what kind of wine goes with chocolate.
All right, let's go.
Now, chocolate is powerful stuff. At the same time, it's sweet and it's bitter and acidic and fruity. So it won't go with any light-bodied wine, any dry wine, and certainly not any white wine. To me, the perfect wine for chocolate is powerful red port. You don't have to
Chef
spend
Allen's
a lot of money
saying
there.
Yes. He's raising
I'm with you there.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Maybe a young, inexpensive ruby port. It doesn't have to be more than $15, $20 a bottle. Now, ruby port is a lot like chocolate. It's sweet and it's bitter and it's acidic and fruity, so it's a natural pairing. But even then, I wouldn't have port with a Hershey bar because milk chocolate is just too bland for port. It's not chocolate enough. You want top quality adult chocolate, bittersweet chocolate with a cocoa content of up to 70%, and it's just a wonderful combination. So, or you could try it with intensely chocolate desserts like molten lava chocolate cake. Or I make a bundt cake that people like. It's called Too Much Chocolate Cake, and it's made with...
So you've gotten away from your lobster now. We're into chocolate cake. Okay.
We're into chocolate cake, so Linda, this is right up your alley.
Okay, let's hear it. What's in it?
It's made with double fudge cake mix, instant chocolate pudding, and bittersweet chocolate chips with chocolate frosting. Pour it, and you've got heaven.
And you're making it with a cake mix. Okay, sounds
absolutely
good.
Yeah, I don't do these things from scratch. That's too much work.
Okay. Chef Allen says he loves it. Okay, go ahead.
On the other hand, if you really want to challenge your palate, try chocolate with beer. How does that sound, Linda?
I don't know. Isn't there a chocolate beer we had one time on the show?
Yeah, you don't want any just any beer. You don't want a wimpy light beer, but there's a brewery in Oregon called Rogue, and it makes a chocolate stout. It actually adds chocolate to the malt before fermenting the beer.
And chefs, you're
yeah, I think that's a great idea. A stout would really pick up the aspects of the aromatics really well.
Yeah, it's a nice combination. You can make it yourself if you're a home brewer. You just add broken up pieces of bittersweet baker's chocolate or chocolate chips or candy bars or even chocolate syrup. Then you have to superheat it to boil off the fat laden cocoa butter, and then you go ahead with the fermentation. So, and not surprisingly, that goes wonderfully with chocolate. Although what I tried it with, I tried the Rogue's chocolate stout at a party one time, and I poured a glass of it and plopped in a couple of scoops of Reese's peanut butter ice cream and made a really delicious, not too sweet, sophisticated, very adult ice cream float. And that was really heaven.
Well, would you try that, Chef? Reese's Pieces. And
I'm with you, Fred. Let me know when. We'll try it together.
I'm ready.
It's a new year. We should all try something new.
Yeah, that's our New Year's resolution.
There you are.
Okay, sounds good. Richard Campbell, you're going to be selling some cocoa trees or at the festival. Is that right?
Correct. We have cacao plants for sale.
Uh-huh. But also, I read about this a chocolate-smelling orchid. What's that all about?
The Sherry Baby Orchid is also known as the chocolate orchid, and if you smell it, you will understand exactly what... It's a Nonsidium. It's a beautiful orchid in its own right, but it actually smells like dark chocolate. I mean, it has a wonderful, wonderful chocolate aroma. And
I never heard that an orchid had any scent at all.
I presume that's not edible.
It's not edible, but it is. It makes you hungry. It makes you want chocolate, I'll tell you that. And it also grows very, very well here in South Florida. It's one that you can mount in a tree, and it'll keep blooming. It'll actually bloom multiple times per year and will survive for forever. I mean, it's really a very well-adapted orchid for South Florida.
And that's really? Sherry Baby, like the song?
Correct. Okay. Sherry Baby.
You know, Richard, I thought Oncidiums needed a lot cooler weather than we have here.
No. This one is so well-adapted. This was bred in, South Florida, and it's a very, very good orchid for here. And it's a wonderful, it's kind of a no-brainer orchid. You know, put it up in a tree and don't baby it, and it'll take care of itself. It's very nice.
You don't have to water it or spray it in the winter here?
Nope.
Oh, maybe I could even do it, huh, Richard?
Linda, it's the perfect orchid for you. It's the perfect orchid.
There are some great fragrant orchids, though, Linda. There are cattleyas that are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. They're tremendous. And isn't vanilla an orchid?
Correct. Vanilla is an orchid,
really?
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The orchid is a very useful family for us. I just, you know, I always talk about mangoes. I don't talk about orchids. But, you know.
Richard has always tried to make me a gardener. He's not having a lot of success, but we can keep trying, Richard.
We're gonna make it happen.
Linda. Okay.
Richard had to drop the mango word on this conversation.
No. I cannot speak. You know, of course I had to say that. You know me, Alan.
I do.
Yeah. And you know, with the cacao plants themselves, the big key to them in South Florida is you have to plant them in a protected space, a lot of water, a lot of fertilizer, very good protection. So protection from the cold and the wind, and no salt. So, you know, can't be near the ocean or getting any salt spray. And then you can grow your own cacao plants here in South Florida. You might not like want to do that and make your own chocolate because it's a little challenging to do that, but you definitely can produce pods in a couple years. And the cacao pod itself is very beautiful. We always use them to decorate the tables, and they're great conversation pieces. And
so you wouldn't be opening it up and letting it and cooking it for 36 hours or grating it or something.
I've tried it. I've tried that, but I'm not. The big problem is the fermentation process. When you ferment cacao to make chocolate, the fermentation is the real key to flavor development.
Okay,
and
all right.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time. It's really been a very, very tasty week. I think everybody now is drooling about chocolate. Yeah. Richard Campbell, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And good luck this weekend. He's the horticultural director at Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. And if you want to know more about it, you can go to ilovechocolate@fairchildgarden for more information, or just call the garden. And Chef Alan Susser, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, and I'll see you down at the gardens this weekend.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's going to be doing his demonstration at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
And thank you for the chocolate tea. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes,
my pleasure.
And I loved it.
And if you go there, you can have his chocolate pancakes.
Thanks.
Anyway, Bonnie Berman, Joe Cooper, great to be with you.
Likewise, thank you.
Fred Tasker, great advice as always. I like that chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Alan, if Linda's there, you better bring some extra chocolate.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
I'm prepared for her.
Well, next week we're going to be talking with Adele Sandberg and Cheryl Lynn Adler from Earpeace, PEACE Foundation, about a topic so many people have asked me about, noise level in restaurants. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.